IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Zain. Sayyid Zain, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the significance of mental health and how does the religion of Islam and Islamic teachings help us to achieve mental health more in our Islamic life. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Again, I have to ask this question. Give us a definition of mental health. What is it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, by mental health, I think we here mean a kind of sanitation, which means to protect, or to protect, for example, your mental.
Yes, mentality. Yes.
Mentality, sorry, or remove, for example, the mental kind of problems that you may suffer. So to keep your mentality pure and clean, you know, and that's why it can be termed a kind of psychological sanitation as well.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what we mean. Not to pollute your mentality with wrong things, for example, with polluted kind of ideas, mentalities, activities, mindsets. These are the things that we can be very much careful.
Yes.
To care about our mentality, to be pure, to be clean, to be pious. Islamically talking, I think taqwa is the most beautiful thing that purify our mentality, you know, because taqwa has different levels. Sometimes taqwa goes to the practical aspect that practically we should control not to do certain things or to do certain things, for example. But the higher level of the taqwa is that that mentally we should be pure.
Yes.
Even not thinking about wrong things, even not imagine. You know, we have to control our imaginary power, not to imagine wrong things. Because first we imagine ma'siyah and then we perform it.
Yes.
So if someone can purify his imagination, his mind, his mental world from the wrong things, so he mentally, Islamically talking, I think mentally he is good, he is okay, he is fine.
Okay, that's right. And Sayyid Zain, when we talk about the mental health, we are mainly concerned with our emotional, psychological, and social well-being or wellness in the society. And of course, it is not limited only to emotional problems. For example, a couple might have problems between each other because of not benefiting from mental health or mental well-being. And especially in today's world, you know, most of the people, in order to find solutions to their panic attacks or generalized anxiety or we can say emotional problems, major depressive or disorder or something like that, they go and they, for example, use medicine, I mean the pills, tranquilizers or something like that. Do you believe that the religion of Islam and its teaching can help the people to achieve mental health by not referring to, I mean, medicine and medication in cases that are solvable easily in a daily life or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I definitely think that Islam has answers for these kind of problems. Now, before we get into that, let's just put this out there as well, that there is a place for, you know, it to be a medical issue too, that if it reaches such an extent that, you know, it's a very difficult problem to solve, then medicines do have a role to play as well, right? So we're not denying the role of medicines and medication and it as a medical problem.
Yes.
But I believe in a lot of cases, you know, that are not extreme, they can be first and foremost prevented. If the Islamic lifestyle is lived, if a person applies Islam properly to themselves, these can be prevented. Or even after these kind of mental problems come, they can be sorted out as well through the teachings of Islam.
Yes.
So definitely, I believe Islam has the answer for this. Now, one thing that is, you know, quite important, and inshallah, Sheikh, he can correct me as well, is that Islam looks at the human being in a very different way than how modern medicine or modern, you know, psychology would look at the human being, right? Where we're not just physical beings, right? We're now, yes, our mental health is connected to our physical well-being as well. Right. But more importantly, it's connected to our spiritual well-being, that if spiritually we are strong, a lot of these problems, we can, you know, avoid them and we can overcome them. Things like, you know, depression, anxiety, stress, and all these things, inshallah, you know, they can be helped and protected and, you know, made better with the teachings of Islam.
That's right.
Because Islam looks at the human being at a wholesome level. Now, modern medicine, you know, I believe what it tries to do is this, that it has, you know, one way of sorting out these things.
Yes.
That one or two ways, right? Mm-hmm. That they either say that, okay, you do some lifestyle changes,
yes,
some thoughts and all these things.
Yes.
Or they try to put a band-aid on the situation and, you know, just give medicines and you know, medicate the person. But it's not a proper, wholesome solution to the problem. Why? Because they're not looking at the human being as a whole.
Okay.
Whereas Islam looks at the human being as a whole, where we do have a physical aspect, a mental, emotional aspect, and also a spiritual, deeper spiritual aspect as
That's all right. And Sheikh Rouhani, when we talk about the mental health, according to what Sayyid says, you know, psychology has a different look from the Islamic schools of thought. You know, I think in psychology, by mentality, we mean the brain. But in Islam, we mean by mental health also means the spiritual diseases too, isn't it?
In Islam, we have the term salim al-nafs.
Salamat
al-nafs.
Okay.
Salamat al-nafs is the most, we can say, good equivalent for this term that you use. Because the one who is of salim al-nafs, he is always happy. He is always optimist. He is always prosperous. He enjoys his life. So now the question is that how can we achieve this salamat al-nafs, you know? This is very much important. There are some, from the Quranic perspective and Islamic perspective, there are certain kind of pieces of advice that we can share with our brothers. First of all is iman, faith. Iman, the true iman according to ayat of the Holy Quran, the one who is with true iman, of course, his nafs is salim. His ruh is salim, is he's immune from any kind of, let's say, psychological diseases and problems. And the other one is amal salih, the one who wants to enjoy a kind of salamat al-nafs. He has to fulfill or to do righteous things and good things. Amal salih. There are ayat of the Quran that refers to these kind of things. The fourth solution is to be pious, taqwa. To perform taqwa, to observe taqwa. This is, as we mentioned, the very, very beautiful thing that is even overemphasized in the Holy Quran as well as the riwayat is to remind yourself of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullahi ta'ala.
Yes.
You know, what is that beautiful ayah saying that? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
Yes.
So this itminan al-qalb.
Yes.
Is salamat al-nafs, is the pure and, let's say, the clean nafs is there.
And when you're talking about nafs, you mean both the brain and the soul,
in
isn't
Islam,
it?
In Islamically talking, we have nafs and badan. Ruh and jism.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
But this is a technical term that is used by the modern kind of psychology.
So brain is a part of the body.
Yeah, brain is a kind of tool, a kind of equipment that is utilized by nafs.
I mean,
it is in the service of nafs.
Okay.
Brain is in the service of nafs. Even if there is mental world or mentality, mentality is also part of nafs. If it is in within the badan, within jism, and of course, nafs is something that controls everything on badan, on jism. So that's why the main part of our existence is soul, nafs, ruh, whatever you term it.
Yes.
So whatever psychological problem, mental problem goes to both, sometimes jism and mainly nafs. So that's why the one who can keep his nafs pure and clean, then of course, automatically his body will be also pure. Because of what? Because when you solely, I mean, spiritually are pure and clean, then of course you will not let the wrong things comes to you, and also you not let the body to be polluted. That's why you see that in Islam is the religion of purity, mm-hmm. both physical, bodily purity, as well as spiritual purity or mental purity. Why we are always recommended to be always in the status of wudu. Uh-huh. You know, a mu'min should be always with wudu. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a very beautiful riwayah, because we do not have time to mention that riwayah, saying that in a beautiful hadith, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a mu'min is in need of wudu, mm-hmm. if he makes wudu and then perform this wudu and keep this status of purity, uh-huh. and then if he asks something from me, I will absolutely respond and answer his demands. It's a very beautiful hadith.
Very good.
You know? And that is why it says that it encourages Muslim that always be bodily pure.
Bodily pure.
Let alone spiritually.
Spiritual.
So that's right. Why this purity, this tahara that mm-hmm. is emphasized a lot in our fiqh, it also relates and refers to mental purity as well. Because when your body is pure, when you always care about your cleanliness, mm-hmm. and as the Prophet ﷺ was the most pure and clean and pious person, yeah, mm-hmm. in Arab Peninsula, we can say. So that's why these are the point that we should take into consideration from the Islamic perspective, marriage.
Yes.
Marriage. Mm-hmm. Because zawj is khuliqa litaskunu ilayha, is sukoon that we are always, yes. men and women nowadays,
yes, yes.
are always seeking this sukoon. Yeah, mm-hmm. this sukoon is sometimes in good marriage, mm-hmm. if you have good spouse, good wife, good husband, and then of course not to be oppressive, and then of course to.
I will get back to some of the other aspects of the mental health. According to Islam and mental beings. And so all in all, when we take a look Islamically at life, I mean, this type of tawhidi or muwahhid type of look, which is very much away from self-centric world or self-centrism in the modern world, automatically brings a kind of calmness and tranquility into right. your lifestyle, because all in all you're looking after is the satisfaction of not yourself or the people around, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Isn't it, Sayyid?
Yes. So definitely the Tawhidi way of looking at the world, it brings this tranquility, mm-hmm. which the modern way doesn't have. Because okay. in the modern way of looking at the world, it's you versus the world, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to gain as much as you can for your own benefit, and the modern man is making more and more tools to be able to conquer nature, to take more resources from it, to benefit, to have more pleasure in it. So this idea of me against the world is there in, yes. in the modern way of looking at okay. at things. Whereas in the Islamic way of looking at things, it's not like that. It's me in the world that is controlled by higher power, mm-hmm. right? I'm a part of it. I am not against it. Mm-hmm. I'm not, there is a higher power who is there, who is, you know, taking care of things, right? So when someone believes in this and accepts that there is a unity in the universe.
Yes.
Right. And there's a system that is there, and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and does dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has, you know, reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this automatically brings, you know, calmness.
Calmness.
That I'm worried about, you know, what is going to happen, you know, how will this thing turn out, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't believe in a higher power, okay, then, you know, that worry stays there.
Yes.
Then you try to do your best, and, you know, even then, sometimes things don't go well. So there's a stress, there's anxiety. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you believe in a higher power, you look at it this way. You say that, I'm going to try my best.
Yes.
Right. But at the end of the day, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants will happen. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I trust in Him.
Yes. Right.
And that brings calmness and tranquility.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of mental health and how Islam can help us to achieve better mental health in our Islamic lifestyle. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information on this program and other programs, visit our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all and fi amanillah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفعة أنا لها.